Wendy ran her hand down the length of Finn's sweaty, narrow back. "It's all right, boyo. It's all right." In her dented red Honda by the side of the freeway, under the hot blue sky, she crooned softly to the dog, who had clambered into the front and was trying to claw his way onto her lap. She hardly had room even to lean sideways, but managed to release the lever. Her seat slid all the way back with a chunking sound, and Finn landed heavily across her body. It was so hot here in the airless car. She sat with her head pressed back against the seat, listening to the rhythmic on-off click of the hazard lights and the dog's anxious whining, and looked out the window. She could see only the looming rush of car ghosts into and then past her side-view mirror, and the greys and greens of scrub and road. For a moment, she spiralled out and away from herself and Finn and the car into a high aerial view of the bush and the road. She saw her car, a tiny red blob huddled beneath the great stone cliff on the freeway between the city and the coast. And then she plummeted down again and felt the panic of the landing here in her present circumstances. Finn whined and licked his lips and did not settle, but instead tried to turn his large, shaggy body around in the small space, treading again over Wendy's thighs, shifting his weight, his claws catching in the thin fabric of her trousers. He couldn't pace his circles in the car. He would get more and more agitated. She'd hoped he would sleep all the way, but now the car had broken down and he was frightened, and Bitto's was still an hour away, and it was so muggy she could hardly breathe. There was nothing to do but wait. She had found the roadside assistance number and called, and although her membership had lapsed, she could just pay the extra. Thank God for mobile phones. Thank God for credit cards. Sometimes the modern world was filled with miraculous goodness. Her phone battery had been full, or half full. She extracted this merciful fact from the guilty chaos inside herself. She wasn't so hopeless as to have a flat phone battery as well. But the adrenaline of moments ago was still spreading through her body, the echo of it hot and cold and chemical like gin or anesthetic along her veins and through the core of her bones. She'd forgotten how it felt until the moment it happened. The soaking dread of a vehicle stuttering beneath you, suddenly dropping all power as you ascended a hill at 115 kilometers an hour with a line of cars barreling along behind you. She'd forgotten the drench of disbelief as the car faltered, forgotten the sound of your own voice calling out, "No, no, please, please, come on, little car, just hang on," as you pumped and pumped the accelerator, lurching to the side of the road. And the cars behind you were forced to brake suddenly, then roar past in perilous, swerving overtaking, horns blaring, drivers screaming abuse. And all the time, Wendy calling out, "It's all right, Finny, it's all right," to the ancient dog curled on his smelly tartan bed on the back seat. But he had already lifted his grubby head and begun whining, staring anxiously about while Wendy's heart hammered in her chest, and she pulled over into the breakdown lane, drawing as close as she could to the great stone wall of the dark cliff face. And now they just had to wait.